And that is that we are great sinners and Jesus is a great Savior. Amen. If you know those two things, you're going to have a lot of wisdom in life. And that's what we're teaching. That's what we want to teach. That's what we want people to know. And we've been talking about the love of God. And I think I'm going to finish that this morning. But there's several things about the love of God I think are extremely important, extremely interesting. In the first place, we have to understand, I heard the other day on our radio station a song called "This Is My Father's World." And I remember that when I was a kid in the Methodist church where I grew up. They sang that song all the time, particularly on Father's Day. But they sang, "This Is My Father's World," and I never forgot that song. And what a wise person needs to understand that God's in charge. And since He's in charge and He knows everything about the world from beginning to end, then He has set up guidelines to help us to know not only how to live in this life, but how to live in the next one. And so, since He's in charge, we have to go by His rules. A lot of people say they don't want to have anything to do with God, and they have that privilege, they can do that. But only the rules of God are going to work in His kingdom, in His life. And they said that the number one commandment, after we determine that God loves us because He does. My son, who pastors a church down in Wichita, Kansas, passed out a survey in his church. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully because it's important. The question one of the questions he had on the survey, are we born a Christian? About half of the people in the church said yes, and about half the people in the church said no. Now that shows you right there's a lot of teaching needs to be done. Because we absolutely are not born Christians. Because of the fall of Adam, because of the work of the enemy, we are not born Christians. Some point in our lifetime, while we're still breathing, we have to receive Christ as our Savior. That has to be done. You're not saved by belonging to a church, being baptized, taking the Lord's Supper, or anything else that you do, because we're saved by the works of Jesus Christ and His only, on the cross and His burial and His resurrection. So the rules of God are, if we're going to heaven, we have to come through Christ. If we are going to end up in eternal hell, we will ignore Christ throughout our lifetime. It's just that simple. But the Bible does say that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What do I believe in? Everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Probably the most important verse in the Bible, well, probably the most important verse is God is love. The second one is He loves us, John 3:16. Now, His loving us is part of it, but we have to respond to that love. Those that do not respond will not be in heaven. Those that respond to the love of God according to His word will go to heaven. Now, so what about us? The next requirement is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors, ourselves. I'm giving you basic questions and answers of life. If you don't get this right, you won't get anything else right. Now, we are to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and then the next thing is our neighbor as ourself. So there's three, if you want to put it this way, three persons we're to love. We're to love God, we're to love our neighbor, and we're to love ourselves. I tell you an interesting thing I've found from talking to people is a lot of people do not love themselves. They don't love themselves for whatever reason. It could be that somebody back in their early years, one of their parents, both of their parents, said that we wanted a boy instead of a girl. One of the parents or somebody else in the family might have abused you sometime when you were growing up. You might have been told that you weren't any good and would never amount to anything. A lot of things might have happened, traumatic things in your life where you determined that you aren't worth a whole lot. Jesus is going to bless everybody but me. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven because of what I did or what somebody else did. And so all these issues, if you're going to live a life for God, have to be solved in your life. They have to be solved. So, these are the questions that we have to deal with on an everyday basis. That's the main issue. Who do we love? Do we love ourselves? Or are we going to love somebody else? That's really what this life's all about. Now, when we get these things right, we get life right. And so, this thing about loving ourselves is extremely important. And so, by loving yourself, it means you're not putting yourself above God. But what it does mean, you appreciate yourself because you were uniquely created by God for a purpose in this life. Every single person, uniquely created by God for a purpose. Now, what the enemy tries to do is mess that up. Now, it's very interesting that there's a lot of good Christian people in this world that don't really have control over their whole life because of a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is because they do not love themselves. Unfortunately, if you watch television, watch the movies, watch all these other things, you see all these beautiful people who most of them have either gone through surgery, Botox, as somebody was mentioning this morning, or something, or an extreme amount of makeup to look like they do. And if you saw them in person without their makeup and all these surgeries, they'd look just ordinary like you do, like everybody else. And so the issue, that's not the issue. It's not how you look, it's who you are. It's where you came from and where you're destined to be. If you know you came from God, you know He put you on this earth, you know He wants you to breathe, and I want you to know this for sure, He wanted you to be a girl or He wanted you to be a man. It was His doing. He chose you to be who you are. So you are wanted from the very beginning by God. Do I hear an amen? All right. Doesn't make a difference what anybody says, what anybody does. It does make a difference to you, but the issue is God wanted you to be born who you are. Now, we sometimes mess that up because before we became a Christian, we do a lot of things that were not pleasing to God. It was interesting, last night Grace and I turned on Christian television, and down in Florida, they're having a big revival going on down there. It started 40 days ago in a church. I don't know how big the church was, probably not real large. But now it has to be out in the field because thousands are coming, and thousands are being saved, and thousands are being healed, and all these things are going on. But the preacher is a guy named Todd Bentley. And you look at Todd Bentley, you're going to say, what in the world is going on here? He's got tattoos all the way up at both arms. Probably all over his body. I have no idea. Up to his neck. He is something. He's a case. But I'm going to tell you this. Harry was telling me, I was talking to him this morning, he used to be in drugs. He used to be probably in gangs. He used to be in everything you can imagine. I'm sure he got all those tattoos and all that junk before he became a Christian. And so you can look at it one or two ways. How can God use a mess like this? Or you can look at it, look what a miracle God did with this man. Are you listening to me? Look what a miracle God did with this man. Tattoos and all, leading this revival where hundreds and thousands are being saved. They're coming from all over the world to this thing. And God is using him people are saved, healed, delivered, and so on, freed from the enemy. And God's doing a great work in his life. And I'm going to tell you this, God has a plan for your life. And if you respond to him, he can use you in some of the same ways. Not just that man. And so you can concentrate on everything you did wrong in the past, or you can concentrate on what God wants to do now through you today. Do I hear an amen? Amen. And you have to renounce the past. I think that's important. When a person gets saved, they ought to be led into a prayer to renounce the past. All the stuff that they did that was not pleasing to God, they ought to renounce that, because it doesn't automatically go away when you get saved. I think it doesn't for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is God wants to show us that we are to be strong in the Lord and rebuke these things in our life and not let them follow us all the rest of our life. Because if they do, they're going to hinder your life. Now, it's interesting in the Bible that God compares us and the church, but also individuals, to the nation of Israel. It's very interesting. The nation of Israel ended up in Egypt, if you'll remember, and they were down in Egypt for 400 years. God had already given Abraham that territory over there called Israel. He had already given it to him and his descendants. But where do they end up? They end up in Egypt. So God sends them a Savior. The Savior's name is Moses, a picture of Jesus Christ. They are in total control of the enemy. They can't get out of there. They're in bondage. They're doing hard labor and so on. And God, by a miracle, which salvation is, brings them out of that place. He said, I want you to go to a land called the Promised Land. That was Israel. That was not heaven. That was the normal Christian life. So as I've said this before, he took them through the desert. He trained them in the desert. Most of them didn't get to the Promised Land. They allowed their past to mess up their present. They kept wanting to go back to Egypt. And they kept wanting to have the things of Egypt, which was total bondage. And so they kept refusing God and refusing God and refusing God. And so most of them died. Their children went into the Promised Land. But I'm going to tell you what happened in the Promised Land that 400 years they were absent from it. Satan planted seeds. He planted people. He planted tribes that would keep Israel out of the Promised Land that was off, that had already been given by God. There were the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Hittites and all the tites in there. And all of these represented different categories of sin that can be in a person's life. All these tribes represented different sins. Everything from drug addiction to alcoholism to any kind of addiction you can think of, as well as pride and worship of man, worship of idols, worship of everything imaginable. Satan had planted all these things in the land, and God said, you need to go in there and take that land. That's what he said. Now, I'm here to tell you, we're the same way. God has certain things that he wants us to take control of in our life. One of the ways we do it is we renounce all past sin. We renounce all past sin. Second thing we do, and we not only renounce it, we forsake it. New Christians need to do this. We need to renounce every past sin we can possibly think of. Sometimes you need to write it down on a list, all your past sins. Confess those to the Lord. Confess them. Ask His help to forsake them. Burn the list. Get rid of it. It's over. It's done. God will never mention it again. And if it ever comes up in your life, it's Satan that's mentioning, not God. But you need to forsake those things. Because from the time you were born to the time that you were saved, Satan planted things in your life when you were rebellious against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have to take that land back from the enemy. You have to confess that sin. You have to forsake that sin. You have to have God ask God to cleanse the land of your life and then move on in the love of God. That is basically what we're talking about here and how all that works. So then you'll be free to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love yourself in the Lord, and to, I'm going to say worship yourself, I said love yourself as a creation of God. Love yourself as a creation of God. And then start doing the basic things. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love yourself as a creation of God. Take care of yourself as the best you can, physically, mentally, and every other way. And then you love your neighbors yourself. You start loving people. I'm telling you how to be pleasing to God, how to be pleasing to yourself, how to be pleasing in this life, how to get in where God wants you to get. He says, go in there and take the giants of the land. If you had a problem with some kind of addiction, take that in the name of Jesus. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your wherever. Remove this stuff and move on then in Jesus Christ. Todd Bentley, if he was still in drugs and still in all that other stuff, wouldn't be leading revival down in Florida right now. Do I hear an amen? You see? So the point is, he sook that stuff. He confessed that. God cleansed him, and now he can be greatly used. His name is going to be worldwide here. Not that that's the objective, but the issue it will be because he became, at a point in his life, obedient to God. Anybody can do that. I don't care if you're 50, 90, 30 years old, whatever you are. What I'm telling you today is wisdom of God, not mine, God's wisdom. And so I always keep saying, don't live in the past. Now, what about when you make mistakes now? Because everybody does. We make mistakes. You confess those things to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What happens if you don't confess them? It's going to break your communication with God. I didn't say your relationship. I said your communication with God. If you're a child of God, you have everlasting life. Nothing changes that. Somebody says, you believe in eternal security? No, I believe in everlasting life. That's what God says. I'm going to use His terms. All right? I'm going to use what He says. I'm going to believe on, stand on, rely on, and live on what God says. You see? That's the issue. And so, I take this for what it is. What you did in the past doesn't mean anything as far as God's concerned. I didn't say it didn't mean something to somebody. It meant something to you at the time. But you cannot let it hinder you now. Because God wants to get you in a place where you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You're going to love yourself for the way God made you. And you're going to feel right about what He did. And you're going to have confidence that He created you for a purpose, and He's going to place you in a promised land, which is your Christian life, among the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and all those ites. And we got them all over the place. Grace had a young man in class who's this is second grade, you understand, and he started doing all kinds of obscene gestures to the other kids in the class. And Grace said, "What in the world are you doing? Where did you learn this stuff?" Well, she found out from the mother that the mother decided she was going to let him watch the Cartoon Network on television. Cartoon Network. It sounds okay. But what's the deal? They were doing this Cartoon Network. I didn't say all of it. Whatever he was watching, they were doing all these obscene gestures and things on the Cartoon Network on television. And so Grace said, "I would suggest you don't let him watch Cartoon Network." And so you can't go to the school of the Hivites and live like a Christian. Are you listening to me? That we are to go in and take the land. Now, it sounded like God said, "I want you to go into that land and I want you to wipe out every single Hivite, every single Jebusite, every single one of these." But why? Because they represented and were so infested with the things of the devil that there was no way they were going to come to God. God knew they weren't going to come to him. He said, "Go in there," and they were squatters on the land that belonged to God's people. Squatters on the land that belongs to God's people. Now, why aren't churches having the influence in the United States that they used to have, say, 50 or 100 years ago? Why are we losing it? Why do we have three people running for president that are not Christians? Why do we have a Congress that can't get anything done? Why do we have, we've elected people to office who have no clue of what I've been talking about this morning. And you wonder why things are all messed up. Now, the problem is that what Christians do, maybe they don't even know they're doing it. Maybe they don't understand, but you're going to understand because I'm going to tell you how it works. The enemy will take anything you give him. I'm talking about as Christians. He'll take anything you give him. Now, the example of that is the nation of Israel today. There is something called, and which is of the devil, actually, something called Land for Peace. How many ever heard of this? Land for Peace. If you watch the news, you've heard of it. Because what the deal is, the United States and other people, other countries around the world are pressing Israel to give land to the Palestinians. And they say, if you give your land, some of your land to the Palestinians, you're going to be at peace. Well, if you study what the Palestinians and all those other people that are opposed to Israel are all about, you'll find out they just don't want a little bit of land. They want the whole thing. They want to drive Israel into the sea. They want to blow Israel off the map. They want to kill every Jew in the world. And so that's their agenda. They're giving their lives for that cause because they have been deceived by the enemy. Now, the issue is you don't give any of the land of your life that God gave you to the enemy. Are you listening? You don't give one inch of your life, whether it's your mind, your will, your emotions, your physical body, or anything else to the enemy, because he's not going to give you peace. I'll guarantee you this. He wants to destroy you. Satan can't do anything he wants to do. God's in charge of this thing. He only has the right to take from you what you give him. Now, the problem is that we have Christians in churches all over this country who's given a little bit of this to the enemy and a little bit of that to the enemy. They still go to church. They still go through the routine. They still go through the rituals. Most of them are not studying their Bible. Some of them not even reading their Bible. So they may go to church once a week, and they say, well, I've punched my time for the Lord, and now I can go do anything I want to, and I'll guarantee you that's why we're in the mess we're in. Are you listening to me? Now, so the issue is you can't give one inch to the devil. You can't give one inch. Grace and I rarely rent a movie because you can't find one that's worth watching. So we got deceived into something the other day. The Hollywood Video called up and said, you haven't rented anything for a long time. We want to give you a free video. We said, okay, that sounds good. So we go in there and we spend 20 minutes trying to find something worth watching. And we got this one movie. We said, that looks pretty good. I think that'll be all right. So we got it home. It started out with some of the junkiest language you ever heard in your life. And you'd say, well, it's a free movie. We shut that stupid thing off and started watching something that was worth watching on television, which there isn't a lot of that, unless you're on a Christian channel or you got to be very selective. But I'm going to tell you that. You take in that stuff, you're giving ground to the enemy. We have to confess our sin, ask God to cleanse us, not watch the whole dumb thing. You know, a lot of times you have an idea, you pay for the movie, I'm going to watch this thing I paid for. Well, that's a big mistake. And so anyway, it is extremely important what you do on a daily basis and whether you are keeping your land in the holiness of God or whether you're giving little parts of it here and little parts of it there. And we really have a tendency to do that if we're around relatives. Are you listening to me? Aren't you glad you came today? That's the issue. I'm telling you what this Christian life's all about. And we don't always get it right all the time. But if you give some land to the enemy, you confess that to the Lord, ask Him to cleanse it and take that land back in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody makes mistakes. I'm not telling you what to give up and what not to give up. You talk to the Lord about it. It doesn't do any good for me to tell you. You got to make up your mind on that yourself. But you got to listen to that voice and when God's speaking to you and say, this is not of me, get rid of it. Or this is not of me, take that land back. And then you can begin. If you want to know why people do not really have a great love for God, I said a great love for God, and why people certainly don't love their neighbors, and a lot of them don't love themselves because they've given part of their life to the enemy. Are you listening? You say, well, I got 80% of it. I only gave him 20. That's kind of like getting a glass of pop, making it 20% arsenic, and say, well, it's 80% good. That's questionable, but it's 80% good, and you drink the dumb thing. Guess what's going to happen? Now, we shouldn't have to go around every day worrying about these little things. I'm not telling you this stuff to worry about this, but you need to live a lifestyle of this that when you mess up, you confess it, you forsake it, you deal with it. Now, if somebody has done something to you, I tell people this constantly because it's so true. I don't care what they did. I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, other kids did things to me. I hated their guts. I'd have killed them if I could, probably, to be honest with you. And I tell you, I still remember the faces of those kids. But I'm going to tell you this. I 100% unconditionally forgave them. I don't know what they were going through when they did what they did. And I probably deserve more than I got as far as that's concerned. And so I wasn't innocent in the matter. And the issue is you have to unconditionally forgive people. I don't care what they did, how much damage was caused, you have to forgive them. That's your part. God will deal with the rest of it. You forgive them. Wipe it off. Wipe the slate clean. Do something good for them if you can. If it's somebody present, do something good for them. You want to know how to deal with this stuff? Do something good for your enemies. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Surprise them. Do something good. Totally forgive them. If it's something you've done to somebody, you go to them, ask forgiveness, or you make restitution. You get this right with them. You get it right with God. And then you're free to love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Your neighbor is whoever you are in contact with throughout your daily routines. That's who your neighbor is. Whether it's the cashier at Walmart or somebody you see someplace else when you're shopping or doing whatever, getting gasoline or whatever you do. I'm talking about God wants us to live this Christian life in our everyday life, not just on Sunday, not just when we feel like it. He wants us to do that. Now, I'm going to try to finish up, and I'm going to start preaching what I was going to preach. Okay. That was free. And now, then move on. Start moving on in your life. Don't hang on to that stuff. It's like carrying a bowling ball around with you. All the time, that stuff in your life, that old stuff in the past, and it wears you out. It gets tiresome. It hinders you doing what you want to do because of that. Now, you need to start praying. God, love other people through me. God, love other people through me. You need to start praying that prayer. Pray it every day, Lord, and particularly in the morning. Today, love other people through me. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, otherwise, you're going to be one self-centered dude that isn't happy with anybody and nobody wants to be around you. Grace always tells this story about her grandparents. And she said one set of grandparents always there'd be a whole bunch of cars at their house. The other set of grandparents, all people would say was, well, I guess we better go see so-and-so. Does that give you an idea? You know what the difference was? Love. Love. That was the difference. That's what's pleasing to God. God wants us to live this life to the fullest and prepare for the next one. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You say, and some of us, yeah, we're so worn out from it all. If we just ask God, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I want to love myself, and I want to love my neighbor as myself. That's what I want to do. I want to do that the rest of my life. I don't know if I got 20 months or if I got 20 years or whatever I have. I want to dedicate my life to that one thing. And you'll be successful in this life. When you stand before Jesus, he'll say, well done, that good and faithful servant. That's what he'll say. So, what do you do? How do you take care of these things? Let's look at a couple of scriptures real quick. And I'll finish this up. Psalm 50 and verse 16. I'm usually in the Word more, but today, just a little different. Okay, Psalm 50 and verse 16. And it says, well, look in verse 15. I like that one. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But unto the wicked. Who are the wicked? The ones that are not loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind, not loving themselves, not loving their neighbor as themselves. Unto the wicked, God says, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, and that you should take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing that you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. Well, there it is. Contrast right there. There's the contrast. Either you're going to call upon me in the day of trouble and I'll deliver you and you shall glorify me, or you're going to cast the words of God behind you and go do whatever you think you ought to do. All right. Let's look at another scripture real quick. Philippians 3:13. Philippians 3:13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And this says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't got it all together. He's a Christian, the Apostle Paul. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Underline that in your Bible. Forgetting those things which are behind. It'll hold you down, drag your feet, which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do something about this problem today. Don't let it go another minute. Don't let it hold you back. Reach forward to what God has for you. 1 John, not John, 1 John 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. You see this constantly in the Bible. You say, well, I haven't lived this kind of a life. Start today. Take this scripture and put it before the Lord and say, this is what I want, God. This is what I desire. This is what I desire. First, take His word and present it to Him. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Isn't that what it says? You ought to put a big star there. He that loves not does not know God. That's pretty clear. Clear as I know how to say it. For God is what? God is what?
Love.
There you go. If you're not loving, you're not being like God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation or a sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love who?
One another.
Who?
One another.
There you go. I'm giving you the gospel. I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm giving you the Bible in a very short period of time. And it says, no man seeing God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit. God is in us. He loves us. He blesses us, and so on. Now, whenever I preach, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it. So, I've got a prayer that I'm going to read to you, and then if you want, you can read it with me. And you say, well, I'm not sure it applies to me. Well, it applies to everybody. Here's what it says. Father, I'm Father in heaven, I've allowed doubt and unbelief to influence my life. You've allowed doubt and unbelief if you haven't loved, like God said. Okay, I've allowed doubt and unbelief to influence my life. I repent for it now. Doubt and unbelief are not of You, I refuse to follow them any longer. I will put my faith in you and your word. I will follow your instructions alone. Father, I've allowed hopelessness in my life by not using the love and faith you have given me. I repent. I will apply them in this situation and everyone from this day on. Finally, Father, I have not loved my neighbors as myself, and I repent. I will love them as you direct me to do. Father, these are sin. I ask you to forgive me this sin. I ask you to reveal to me your love for them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. That's it. Now, you can say the words, but you need to mean this in your heart. This would be what is called a prayer or a declaration or almost a command to yourself. It can change your day. This would be the beginning of a new life, actually. Confess any known sin. Forgive every person. Make a choice to do these things. Clean up your tongue. We've talked about that lately. Pray. Claim God's word. Regain the ground. That's what this is, regaining the ground. It's like you bought 2 acres of land and you have to go in and clean it out. Get it ready. Cut down the weeds. Plant good things. Do I hear an amen? Amen? All right, if you so desire, let's stand. All right, I'm going to just repeat.